I'm satisfied with just a cottage below, a little silver and a little gold. But in that city where the ransom will shine, I want a gold one for that silver.
I'd like to this morning invite you over to the book of 1 John chapter 3 verse 24. 1 John chapter 3 verse 24. 1 John chapter 3 verse 24 reads this way. It says, "And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, once again, we do thank you for the privilege of gathering together in your church, Lord, as your people, being reminded that where two or three are gathered together in your name, there are you in the midst. And so, Lord, we thank you for your presence this morning. We do ask for the blessing of your Holy Spirit to fill us and to guide us that we might worship you in spirit and in truth. Again, Lord, bless your word, bless your people, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is, "By the Spirit which he hath given us." By the Spirit which he hath given us. Do you believe in the infinite God? You believe that? That's important. And he's almighty, and he has no end to him, and his word also has no end. It endureth forever, and we thank the Lord for that. And so this morning, what is it exactly that is by the Spirit which he hath given us? What is it exactly that he's talking about that is by the Spirit which he has given us? Well, we're going to consider four thoughts this morning very quickly. And that is the abiding in his love, or the love of the Father. That is what he has given to us by the Spirit which he has given to us. Also, abiding in the purification. This is God's word. And it purifies the believer, and so he has given to us this Spirit that he's given to us to be purified by the power of God. It also has to do with abiding in the message that you heard from the beginning, and that is to love one another. That's also abiding in the Lord, and that's also what the Spirit of God does inside the believer. and then also abiding in the truth. So as we consider our text this morning, we say we believe in the Almighty God, right? The infinite God, and that's important. And I want you to think about something here. To believe is one thing, and then to have faith or trust is something else. Faith and trust are one thing, right? And believing is one thing. We can say we believe in God, but the Bible says also the devils believe and they tremble. So let's not, they're different. Belief is one thing. Trust and faith is something completely different. Hold your place right here just for a moment. And this is important by way of introduction. And go back over to the book of Hebrews, just like three books, 1st, 2nd Peter, and then James. And then you'll find Hebrews there as you back up towards the front. And look with me, if you will, in the book of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. And notice what the Lord says here. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38 says this. And this is a familiar portion of Scripture. You've heard it many times if you've been saved for any length of time. And this is what it says. It says, "Now the just shall live by..." All right, by faith. This is important. "But if any man draw back," the Lord says, "my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." So I want you to know something. Belief and faith and trust all work together, but they are different. They are different. Belief is the beginning part, amen? And then faith and trust, which are interchangeable, come and follow right after belief if it's moving in the right direction. Okay, go back with me, if you will, to our text in the book of 1 John. And as you're going back to 1 John chapter 3, let me ask you this. I'm just kind of curious this morning. Has anybody here ever traveled in a hot air balloon? You have been in a hot air balloon. Was it tethered or did it go free? It went free. That's interesting. All right. Were you a little nervous?
Well, when you were landing.
When you're landing. All right. Now, here's the whole thing. I want you to know this. I believe in hot air balloons. I believe in hot air balloons. But when will it be that I would put my faith or my trust in a hot air balloon? Oh, when I get in it. See, that's a whole other story. You're not going to get me in a hot air balloon unless it's tied somewhere. Amen? And the reason being is because I don't know what's going to... And by the way, listen, how about this? How about going up in a hot air balloon when it's a real cloudy day and the sun is not shining? That'd be even a little bit scarier, wouldn't it? Because you can't see what's going on. But now, if the pilot were to tell you, oh, I've done this hundreds of times and it's completely safe, you still might have a little bit of reservation because accidents can and do happen, even to the best, right? So mankind is not as trustworthy by any stretch of the imagination as God is. So now listen to this. We can believe in God all day long, but when is it that we put our faith or our trust in God? See? Didn't he say something about abide in me and I abide in you? So it's when we get into Christ. Amen. Now, don't want to confuse this. If you're a saved child of God, you are in Christ. But here's the question. Are we living in Christ? Are we walking in Christ? Are we enjoying being in Christ? That's a whole different ballgame. We can say I believe all day long, but if we're not walking in Christ and trusting him, we don't have much faith at all. See, faith is easy if I don't expect it to do anything. If I don't do anything, oh, I've got all kinds of faith in hot air balloons as long as I'm not the one in it. Amen? I'll believe in it all day long as it doesn't cost me anything. But the moment I step into the balloon, amen, I'm putting my faith and trust. I am putting my faith in action in what I profess to believe. And so likewise also, it's the very same way when we deal with our relationship in the Lord Jesus Christ. Many people can believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, a saved child of God. Now let's make a distinction here. We are not talking about salvation. We're talking about saved people that have put their faith and trust in the Lord for eternal life, but have not put their faith or trust in walking and abiding in what God has said. Amen? And what he has promised. And here's something that he wants us to understand. He will always be the one
that will bless and empower our faith. In other words, he will show his faithfulness as we trust him to perform that which he promised to perform in us and for us. See, he's the pilot, amen? Forget about this, Jesus is my co-pilot. No, no, no. He's the pilot, or we're not going anywhere for the glory of God. And so that's the important truth. All right, so with that understanding, let me ask you, I know you believe in the Lord if you're a saved child of God, but do you have faith in him to perform and to give you what he has already promised and what he's already given to you as a saved child of God? That's a whole different ball of wax, as they say, right? That's a whole other ball game that engages us in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's one thing to say, oh yes, I'm a saved child of God, and no doubt about that if you know the Lord as your Savior, but it's a different thing when we are engaging God and we are expecting God to perform that which he's promised that glorifies him. We can't glorify the Lord, but he can glorify himself in and through us, and that brings him glory as we yield to him and we trust him to perform these things and expect him and call upon him to do these things. Lord, I just simply want you to do that which you've promised and given to me as my birthright. Amen. As being born again in the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, so let's back up to verse 1 and let's notice this abiding in the love of the Father, and keep this idea of abiding in Christ, because that's a different ball game than just believing in God. Verse 1, he says this, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Now this kind of love has also to do with the estrangement of the world. And this is important because if we are abiding in Christ, if we're walking in the Lord, the world is going to look at us differently than they once did before we got saved. In other words, we're not looking to the same things that the world is looking to for fulfillment and contentment and satisfaction in life. We're looking to the Lord now, but listen, is it possible for a child of God to not be looking to spiritual things and just to be looking at the same thing the world is looking to? Absolutely it is. So he says, because we've experienced this manner of love of the Father that's given to us, and we're called the sons of God, the children of God, he says in verse 1, therefore, notice this, the world knoweth us not. They used to know us when we were like them, but now they see us and they say, I don't understand that. I don't know that manner of that is unfamiliar to me. In fact, to the world, it makes absolutely no sense, because we're not living for this life. We're living for the life to come. We're in this life. I'm sorry, but we're not like the world that's of this life. It's different. It's changed. And so we need to believe that, and we need to ask God and call upon God to enable us to walk in that truth. We can't do that by ourselves. Again, we're not the pilot. We're not even the co-pilot. Amen? We allow the Lord to be the great shepherd. Amen? Because it knew him not. The world does not know the Lord. Isn't that the truth? The world does not know the Lord. It knows this. It only knows this. It hates the Lord. That's the only thing the world knows, because the world is under the power of the devil. And so naturally everything is bent. Isn't it amazing? You know, there are things that Christians get persecuted for that other religions are involved in and are not persecuted for it. You heard about the bakers that didn't want to be involved in a wedding that dishonored the Lord. And yet, did you know, just right across the street, I think it was, this individual went in and he said, I want you to, or maybe it was down the street, I'm not sure, but he went and asked three different Arab bakers. They were Muslims. And he said, I want you to make me a wedding cake. Oh, they were all on board. But by the way, now this guy wasn't, but he said, you need to put two men on there because that's who's getting married. And they said, oh no, I'm sorry, we can't do it. You never heard them getting sued. Why is that? Because, see, the world loves its own. And it hates the truth is what it is. It hates the Lord. But wait a minute, listen. May that never be said about the child of God. May we find our life in Christ because we trust him not only in this life, but in that life that also is to come. So he says, we're estranged from the world. Verse 2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear that we what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, speaking of the Lord, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So we are expecting this wonderful change, and we don't really understand that other than it's the truth. When we see the Lord, we'll know exactly completely what this means. Now, I do want to also say this. It's not that the child of God is looking to antagonize the world. That's different. That's not loving. That's not the love of God, because the love of God is not willing that the world should perish. So I'm not going to make a big stink about what we talked about, the bakers and stuff like that. But what we do want to do is just at least recognize there is a difference and understand why this is happening. And we're not to get offended at these things. We're not easily offended. We have the understanding. That shouldn't rile us up. That's just proof of the Word of God, that the world does not love the Lord. It should not surprise us that true Christianity is the only faith that really gets challenged and is put to trial, if you will, because they're against the truth. But what does that do for the believer? Well, Lord, may you be merciful to them as you were to me. May you grant your mercy. They don't understand, and they never will, as we didn't until we got saved. And so this is the important thing, and this is abiding in the love of the Father. He says, well, listen, that what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God, there in verse 1. So we want to make sure that we abide in the Father's love because he's bestowed it upon us. If you bestow something on somebody, that means you've given it to them. That means they didn't have it before, they were without, and when you bestowed it upon them, now they also have that possession. Amen? That was given. All right. So the second thought here is abiding in the purification. See, this is now ready, putting my faith in that balloon, I'm getting inside of it. I'm not going to say, oh, I could never do that. Well, that's true. You could never do that, but do you have enough faith in God to enter into his realm? See? Oh, you don't understand. Oh, no. You don't understand if you're saying, I can't do that. You're not looking to the right person. You're looking to yourself, and you'll never go anywhere for God as long as you're looking to what you can do for God. You'll never glorify the Lord. God won't allow it because we're prideful. We still deal with the sin nature. And so if we do it, we want to tell everybody, look what I'm doing for God. And no. We ought to be saying, praise God for what he's doing for me. Amen? That's the truth of the matter. Praise the Lord for what he's doing for me. Let's get off of our high horse and humble ourselves before Almighty God and say, oh God, listen, I need you or this will never happen. It will never happen in my life. I know it. And you know it too. No doubt about it. All right? Verse 3. Abiding in the purification. By the way, nothing that God asks me has he ever anticipated or expected for me to do it by myself. Everything God has commanded me to do is simply by abiding in him and allowing God to do it through me. That gives us a brand new, completely different approach that glorifies God, and he gives us his power, and we start working in his power. All right, so verse 3. And every man that hath this hope, what does he do in him? What does he do? Purifieth himself. Now, listen, that's not you doing it yourself. That's you realizing you need this purification and God must be the doer of it. I can't purify myself. Can you? You can rededicate. You can recommit yourself. You can be determined. You can turn over a new leaf. You can have a New Year's resolution. And if it's for God, you will fail every time. It won't happen until we humble ourselves and say, God, you must do this work. So we need to abide in this purification. And by the way, this is the God-given revelation of God's purification. God, listen, I want to remind you of something here. The Lord is speaking to believers about the love. It's not natural. It's supernatural, and it must be performed by the power of God. So he's reminding believers this is important, that we see this taking place in our lives. And if it's not, then we need to call upon the Lord to perform it. All right, so verse 3, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure, even as God is pure. Can you purify yourself by yourself as God is pure? Never, 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 never. We don't have that. But God does. Are we indwelt by the Holy Spirit as a saved child of God? That is the purpose of the Holy Spirit, to work in your life and mine. That is the purpose of the Holy Spirit. He's not just there to seal us, although that's part of the job and part of the work that he does, but it's also this purification that takes place in the life of the believer. So we have this God-given revelation. He says, hey, listen, God is going to purify you. Oh, God is going to do it. I like that. God, please. Now I need to trust you, Lord, so I'm going to call upon you. I need to abide in you for you to perform this in my life. Then the second thought here in this abiding purification is the God-given understanding here that God grants of abiding in Christ. Pay attention. Look at verse 4. Look, watch carefully. Whosoever committeth sin, he's speaking to believers, is he not? All right. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. So does that mean because we're not under the law, it's okay to transgress the law? It's okay to do the things that God says that we should not do? Now, we're not talking about dietary things that were fulfilled in the Old Testament, but we're talking about when Jesus said, you've heard it's wrong to commit murder. And he says, but I say unto you, to hate your brother is to commit murder. That's what he's talking about there. The things that God wants us to obey. Whosoever committed sin transgressed the law, for sin is a transgression of the law. And notice this verse 5, and ye know that he was manifested, the Lord was manifested to do what? Take away our sins. Take away, that means, does that mean just the old account, or does that mean our sins that we shouldn't walk in them today? You mean it's not just the record of our past sins? Is it not also? So God is not expecting the child of God to say, okay, you have eternal life, but you can go ahead and walk in sin? Is that God's plan? That we can go ahead and live in sin and be a sinful individual and still go to heaven? Is that God's plan? No, it's not God's plan. He says, I want you to be holy because I'm holy. Amen. Well, wait a minute. Let me ask you this. What relationship at all does that have for you and I as believers? Did you hear what he said? He wants us to be holy because he's holy. Oh, wait a minute. He's not saying, I want you to be holy because you're holy. Isn't that amazing? That takes a burden off of our backs. I can't be holy because I want to be holy. I can only be holy because he's holy. And he gives us that holiness. That's the only way it works. So he says, I want you to know. And in fact, he says, you know this. The Holy Spirit tells you this, verse 5. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Amen. He's going to take away our sins. Why? Because in him there's no sin. Amen. Verse 6. Whosoever what? Oh, you see. You see, listen. God doesn't send us up in the hot air balloon, just for illustration's sake, and expect us to get out of the balloon. That would be not abiding in the balloon. Wouldn't that be the case? How about this? I think airliners, they get up 35, 40,000 feet in the air. Okay, I got it from here. Is that what God wants us to do? He wants to step out of the airplane now because we got it. No. Listen, you have to abide in Christ the whole time through. We have to abide in the Lord Jesus Christ, or the church of God will never be what it should be. We need that kind of revival of the power of God. Listen, God is not pleased for his people to be defeated. Do you know why? Do you know why God does not want his church to be defeated and powerless? Because he has given us his power. Amen. We just need to understand how to apply it. The Apostle John here is not talking to lost people. He's talking to saved people to give us understanding. How about, I need God's understanding, don't you? I have missed this for many years. I'm not ashamed to tell you that, because praise God, He's shown it to me at least in this time in my life, as He's showing it to you at this time in your life, so that we can live the last years that He's given to us for His honor and glory. Or the rest of the years that He's given to us for His honor and glory. I don't want to be a defeated believer. I want to experience the blessings of God in my life. I want to experience the glory of God for His glory in my life. I want to watch the Lord overcome things that I know I can't overcome in my own strength. Amen? Amen. I want to see it take place. God wants to give it. We just want to say, okay, Lord, I'm going to trust You for it. See the difference? You can believe in God all day long and never see God work. You know why? Because we're not expecting God to do anything. Oh, listen, brother, you don't understand. I try and I fail. Is that the Christian life God died for? No, it isn't. So look at verse 6 again. Whosoever abideth in Him does what? Did I make that up? And certainly God's not trying to fool us, is He? Now, I know and you know that I will sin without God like that. I can't even snap my fingers. In a heartbeat, I will fail God. I was lost one time before I got saved. And you know how much of my righteousness the Lord was impressed with? You know how much of my good deeds God was impressed with? Not a one. How much of my righteousness do you think God will be impressed with now as a saved child of God? Not a one. I'll help you out. Not a one. How much of God's righteousness that He's given to me will glorify the Lord? All of it. All of God's righteousness. So we need to look for the Lord to work in our lives. So again, look at verse 6 very carefully. Whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth, notice what it says, hath not seen Him, neither known Him. That's pretty strong. Now, God is not talking about sinless perfection. But we don't really know the Lord. Let me just share this with you. If you're saved, you're saved. God, it's not a work salvation. If you've trusted in the Lord, you've got eternal life. But if you're walking in defeat, you don't know Jesus like He wants us to know Him. And by the way, is God infinite? So fathom this thought, just for a moment, fathom this thought. I don't know the Lord yesterday like I do today. Listen to me. I don't know Jesus yesterday the way I do today. Is that true? But I also don't know Him today as I will know Him tomorrow. If I'm growing in Christ. Do you see the difference? Listen. I don't know Jesus yesterday the way that I do today. And because He's infinite, I don't know him today the way I will tomorrow. If I'm trusting in the Lord. Not just believing in Him. Remember the belief? Yeah, I believe in hot air balloons. But I got to get in it to say I've got faith in them. Amen? I've got trust in them. All right? So, is He upset? He's not angry. I want you to see the Spirit of the Lord right here. And this. Notice the manifestation of God in His children. Look at verse 7. Little children. Does that offend you? God says little children. That's an endearing term, isn't it? Little children. My children, my beloved. All that fits in there. Little children, let no man deceive you. Not even yourself. I know it's not popular, but men and women are part of mankind. That's the way it is, right? Why? Nothing in us. Where did Eve come from? Out of man. That's just and God ordained, you know, the man and the woman. That's His plan. You don't have to. God does not even demand that you agree with it. It will condemn you. It will cause you all kinds of problems. But you don't have to accept that. But here it is. God says to us, little children, because He loves us And listen, we need to be careful as part of mankind, whether you're male or female, that you don't deceive yourself, that we don't deceive ourselves. Little children, don't deceive yourselves into believing something that God is telling us is not true. And that is that today that believers can't have victory. Oh, listen, the church is failing today and the church is weak today because it's a sign of the times of the world. You show me in the Bible ever, ever, ever where God's people, their service to the Lord and their victory in Christ is contingent upon what the world is doing. You show me in any place in the Bible where the world is supposed to have an effect on the church. No, Christ is to have the effect. In fact, I want you to know something. Were there persecutions during the time of Paul and John? Were Christians being martyred? I don't think we've ever seen that, not in America. I mean, we may have some persecution, but I don't think anybody spilt their blood for Christ yet. Maybe an unknown thing, but as far as our country being set against Christians in a sense of taking us into arena and feeding us to the lions, we don't have that happening in our day and age. So let's not be deceived that everything that the church does for Christ is contingent upon what the world is doing or not doing. Listen, the only thing that the glory of God through his local New Testament church is contingent on is our relationship, the church's relationship with God. That's it. So he says, little children, verse 7, let no man deceive you, not even yourself. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. That's powerful. If we're abiding in Christ, then righteousness, if we are abiding in Christ, that means we're connected to Christ. And listen, we ought to be turning away from the things of the wickedness and turning more to the light of God. And then verse 8, he that committeth sin is what? Of the devil. Do you know what he's saying? Now he's not saying that a child of God walking in sin has no eternal life. He's just saying you've picked up with the devil. He's just saying you love the devil more than you love God. Oh, you may say, oh no, oh yes, oh yes. If you're not trusting in the Lord to deliver you, then you love darkness more than light. In other words, here's what you're saying. Were we in darkness before we got saved? So now we have light and we're going to continue walking in darkness? Why? Why? Now listen, God's not talking about sinless perfection. We still deal with the flesh. We still deal with the old nature, the old man, but the new man is stronger than the old man. Here's the problem. You believe in the new man, but have we trusted him? Remember? I can look at the old man and I can look at the new man all day long and say, I believe they're both there. Yep, preacher, that's the truth. They're both there. But when are we gonna put our faith and trust in the new man? Because when we do, we're gonna fly with God. God's gonna pilot our life like we've never seen before. Here's the problem. We don't believe God. That's the real problem. That's the real problem. If we mock at sin, well, you know, I'm just gonna mess it up. You're dishonoring God. Well, I just better go ahead and pray right now for God to forgive me for what I'm gonna do just a few moments from today. For the sins I'm gonna commit this week. Show me that in the Bible. That comes out of the pit of hell. Now, I'm not saying you're not saved. God's not saying we're not saved. God's just saying that we've picked up with darkness more than the light. We believe this world more than the next. We believe in the power of the flesh more than the power of God. If we expect to fail, does God fail? Does he indwell us? And has he promised to give us victory? So we can believe in that all day long. It's when we, by faith, trust and get in the balloon and allow him to take us. So notice verse 8 again. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Who's destroying the works of the devil? Isn't that amazing? And he's talking about in your life and mine. He's talking about your life and mine. Do we have an interest in God delivering us from our sins? Do we get excited? And I'm not against sports, but do we get excited more than sports fanatics? You ever hear of sports fanatics? I've seen some of them in my lifetime. I've seen snow games in the football, right? College football, they're crazier than all of them. And they'll be out there without shirts, guys, used to be, I haven't seen them in years, and paint themselves in the colors of their football teams. Boy, oh boy, man, they were, woo, crazy. I wonder if they act the same way in church. Huh? They get all excited about this world, and when it comes to the things of God, they have no interest whatsoever. You know why? Nothing's happening. You know what's happening in the football game? Temporal things that are going to pass away. I couldn't even tell you. I remember seeing that. I couldn't even tell you what team that was. And you know what? In 100 years from now, in my life, it won't. In 50 years from now, in my life, it won't mean a thing. And when we see Jesus, it won't mean a thing ever again. He that committed sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, revealed, that he might destroy the works of the devil. That's why God was revealed to you. We're not allowing God work if we're walking in sin. Listen, is that not just saying that was God's purpose? To deliver us. Verse 9. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Are you born of God? Amen. Are we born of God? Amen. That means God is delivering us. At least we're seeing his delivering. We're not walking in that. We're not living in that. Now, it's not saying that we can't sin and that we don't sin, but that's not our manner of lifestyle. There's more victory than failure in our lives because of Christ. And listen. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Why? For his seed remaineth in him. And he cannot sin because he's born of God. In this, the children of God are what? They're revealed. This is how the children of God are revealed. And the children of the devil, whosoever doth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. So he's saying there's a relationship there. Is there not? Listen, fathom this thought, and I'm going to end right here. We'll finish this tonight. The church is trying to sidestep God. We'll do it right over here. That's what we're trying to do. I'm not against reaching the next generation. I've worked bus ministry, I can't tell you for how long. All right? And I've been involved, and I'll tell you, the Lord has worked. I remember, I'll just tell you, a VBS, one night. It was the last night of VBS, and I don't even remember the little boy's name. He was 11 years old, 11 years old. And I could see he was under conviction. And I said, do you want to talk to somebody? He said, I would. And he told me I need to be saved. I got to lead him to the Lord. God gave me that privilege, and he trusted the Lord. I walked away from there on cloud nine. That was over the summer. That was over the summer. And I can't remember. Sometime, I think in May, we were dedicating the new building. This has been many years ago. And there were two little girls that came faithful, whether there was a VBS or not. They were faithful. And anyway, my brother-in-law and his family, we I don't know why we did this, because they served food, didn't they? But anyway, we went out for dinner to Rolla. We were in Sullivan. We went out to dinner in Rolla. And I was following my brother-in-law home with my family. And anyway, we watched this Isuzu Trooper, if you know what one of those are. It was a small little SUV back in the 90s. And all of us, it just flew by us. I mean, we were doing 70 miles an hour. It flew by us, and the next thing I see is all these red taillights. So we slowed down. That Isuzu Trooper was in the middle of the median there. I don't even think we made it to St. James, from Rolla to St. James. And my brother-in-law pulled over, I pulled over, and I'm telling you, that Isuzu Trooper upside down was only this tall. I seen legs hanging out of the back of the Isuzu Trooper, and it was like an accordion, one of the legs. I was like, am I really seeing this? And my brother-in-law was trying to help out. Two nurses pulled over, and the nurse went over and took the pulse of the leg that was sticking out, and she said, he's gone. Or I don't even know if you could tell it was a male or a female. Well, I think the driver ended up dying. He was drunk. The girlfriend, which was the mother of the boy, it was a boy in the back, broke her back, and she was in a hospital for I don't know how long. That's all I knew. The next Wednesday night, I was in church, and I see these two girls that are in our teen group crying, and I said, what is the matter? And then they said, you don't know, and I cannot remember the little boy's name. And they told me like this. They said his name. You remember that? They saw. I didn't even know they saw. You remember that boy that you took out and shared the gospel with? That was him. That was him. But you know what? You know, we're thinking that we can. Does God use an unholy people? Even if they're his kids? See, the church has no power, and we're trying, let's do this and let's do that. No, 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 that's not what God is saying. God is saying, let's get right with him. Who builds the church? Oh, it's not us? Let's go do this, let's go do that. See, if the light of Christ is shining the way God, this is the message of God. You want to know what the human gospel is? Well, let's have this party, and let's have that party, and let's have this group, and let's do that. I've watched that happen, I don't know for how many years, and very little, and I'm not saying that shouldn't be done. But I want to ask you think, how many kids that you've seen come through these doors here today? There's no change. Sure, you want to have a party for them, they're going to come. And yes, it's an opportunity to preach the gospel, and I'm not against that. But I want to tell you, can't we see there's a problem with what we're doing because they're not here. And they're not doing anything for God anywhere else either. You know why? Because God won't use a dirty vessel. That's the truth. And we won't be concerned either like we should be. Unless the holiness of God that God promised and has given to us, that we should be abiding in and putting our trust in and walking in, is working in our lives. It's so easy to point a finger at somebody else when really, you know where that finger ought to be pointing? Where? Right here. Do we really want revival, or are we just kind of, you know, doing the Christian thing? I'm telling you, listen, I don't ever want to guilt you into doing anything. You won't offend me if you don't do anything. And I'm not even asking you to do anything. But God is. Are we even hearing him? Are we even hearing the Lord? Do we even want to hear the Lord? We have to stop and start talking to God. We have to stop from what we're doing and say, Lord, something's wrong. Because certainly this is not what you died for. And so God wants us to know that by the Spirit which he hath given us has brought us from failure to victory, has given to us eternal life, has it not? But is that life living through us? You have the life of Christ. You have the Holy Spirit of God. But is that it? Is that all it is? You get to get out of hell, but nobody else, because they can't see. That's the witness of Christ. The church is to be the light of the world. But if the church is walking in darkness, there's no light. So sure, we can come up with all different kinds of things. You can come up with all different kinds of ideas that I'm sure I would agree with. But we're missing the main thing. And that main thing is for Christ to be the main thing in our lives. So this morning, is the Spirit of God alive in us? Is it working? Can it speak to us? Or will we just chalk off another service and another service and another service and not see the change? Isn't that a problem? Lord, I know you've given us more than what I have. And so the problem is not you, Lord, ever. It's me. Oh God, show me what you've given to me for your glory. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this morning, asking you for you, Lord, to awaken us who are fallen asleep and have forgotten to call upon you to live your life through us and to deliver us, Lord, from the sin that you paid for. Speak to your people. Bless us, Lord. Be merciful. And we'll praise you and thank you, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.